Good morning and welcome into the Blitz. Live here on Fan Run Radio, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. Here with you for the next couple of hours. I'm Charlie Collier, back behind the board, joined once more today by the host of Overtime and my friend Jake Miller, helping me out today.
Yeah, it's funny how I'm your friend after we had that delicious lunch yesterday.
Yeah, you know, if anyone's going to show me pizza that good, they're my friend now.
Fantastic pizza.
That was some of the best pizza I've ever had.
We're doing it again today?
I'm down, yeah.
All right.
back in 2020, I went on a quest to find the best pizza in Knoxville.
Uh-huh.
And might have been early in the year, and then COVID came. And that's why I stopped. But I don't remember why I stopped. I just know that for whatever reason, I didn't finish. And I was on Twitter with it. I went back and looked at the tweet. My original one had a million responses. People get fired up about their pizza.
That they do.
But going to that new place yesterday has inspired me. I'm gonna bring it back. So right now
beat it though.
I have 13 pizza places in the greater Knoxville area. Non-chain places, obviously. You know, I'm not going to put Marco's and Pizza Hut and all that kind of stuff on there. Jets, even though it is some of the better pizza out there, not putting Jets on there.
Right.
So I got 13 on there right now rated, and I have about 13 more, roughly, that I need to try.
Nice.
So I'm excited to get back at that. The place we went yesterday is in a two-way tie for second.
For second?
Yeah.
B.E. and Oak Ridge is number one?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I gave old Large Edison's a 94.
That's a good one. Yeah. Large Edison's.
But the place we went yesterday, I gave an 87.
Yeah. It's pretty clutch. Especially, you know, when you're able to go in and just get it by the slice.
Yeah, my top place around here is tied for one of my three favorite pizzas in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
The world.
The world. My three favorite pizzas in the world are, one's in Oak Ridge, one is Lido's Pizza up in Maryland, College Park area.
Nice.
Over by the university. And then Rock Pizza in Vegas.
Rock
off
Pizza.
Off of Fremont, kind of on a side street in Old Vegas.
I'm actually going to Vegas next year.
You should go to Rock Pizza.
Yeah. I might make that happen.
Yeah, no, I would definitely go there. You look more like an Old Vegas kind of guy. I think you'll like Old Vegas more.
Think so.
Where are you staying at?
Not a clue. I just found out where we're going.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
but not till next year, like 2024?
Correct.
That might be the furthest out anyone's ever known, like, they're going to Vegas.
I mean, if I really wanted to, I could just go over and book a cheap flight and head out for the weekend.
They have a direct flight from Knoxville.
Yeah, it's fairly cheap, too.
Very cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you sit on metal chairs with leather stapled to it, but, like, you get to Vegas for like $150.
Man, it can't be any worse than the connecting flight I had when I was traveling to Ireland. We had to fly from Knoxville to Newark, and it was the equivalent of putting us on a javelin, pulling us back on a pendulum, and then flinging us to Newark, New Jersey. The turbulence was so bad, the landing was the worst landing still to this day that I've ever had.
I've never seen anything like it before. The first time I flew to Vegas on whatever it was, that $157 flight,
yeah,
it was the worst turbulence I've ever seen.
Really?
Like, to the point where someone was in an aisle and left their feet. It was incredible. Like, it was it was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen.
I think I know which airline you're talking about, and starts with an A.
It is, yeah.
So I actually took a flight from Knoxville down to Myrtle Beach because I wanted to go to the beach with my friends, but I had to work. So they were just like, well, just catch a flight down. I'd never flown before, and the flight was like $29. So I get on the flight, no issues, up in the air, back down within 35 minutes. Yeah.
This was the first time I was ever going to Vegas. And because I was supposed to go for my 21st, and then COVID shut everything down. I didn't even get to go to a bar for my 21st birthday, period.
Nice.
Yeah, so that sucked. But I was going to go to Vegas, didn't get to go, so I had to wait for COVID and everything to end and Vegas to open back up to go to Vegas. So fast forward, it's February 2021, maybe the first week of March, actually. And yeah, I'm flying out to Vegas, and first of all, I don't know how the assigned seating worked out the way it did, but there was a group of very rich Indian dudes, like 10 of them.
Nice.
That were the 10 seats around me and this one incredibly annoying old woman.
Of course.
And this old woman was drinking. And she would not stop. Oh, it's your first time. You got to go here. You got to go here. And, like, she kept just talking to me about, like, motorcycles and pawn shops. She's like, you got to go. Like, if you're going to Vegas, you have to go to this pawn shop. And then, like, once you swing by that one, there's another pawn shop over here you can swing by. And this one's massive. And this one's the one that has a TV show. And she's just taking me on a pawn shop tour of Vegas in her free time, sitting next to me. She won't quit tapping on my shoulder. I have headphones in, actively trying to watch something.
Right.
And she is reaching across the aisle to tap on my shoulder and continue to talk to me.
And she's like telling you to go probably to Gold and Silver Pond because that's the one that's on Pawn Stars.
Yeah, but she's also from Vegas. Like,
right.
These aren't even tourist attractions. She just likes these pawn shops. Again, she told me to go to the TV one.
There's probably
right?
a reason she likes these pawn shops.
She told me to go to the TV one, but then she starts telling me to, you know, to go on all these other ones. But then these other dudes that are all sitting around me, I don't know if this one airline just decided that COVID rules didn't exist for them. I'm not complaining about it. I loved it.
Right.
They were just still slinging alcohol.
Nice.
And I'm talking like these dudes were pulling out wads of money and just handing them to flight attendants. Drinks were being poured in their mouths. Like they're getting hammered on this flight. And we are bouncing up and down. Again,
I want them as a sponsor so bad.
Someone leaving their feet. Because of the turbulence. At one point, like I said, all 10 people around me, rich, drinking, having a party, all of them have drinks. They all go up in the air. Drinks everywhere, all over these four aisles. We're all wet.
That would have been a cool picture to catch the liquid midair.
But yeah, so, I mean, that flight was a disaster. Fun people, though. One of the dudes next to me just kept drinking and kept drinking, and all of a sudden he's pulling out his backpack. Show me, like, look, I got $100,000 in here. It's like, why are you flying on this airline? That's just all I want to know this whole time. Would you not want something better than this?
Well, it's because if you live like you're poor, you'll never have to worry about
money. They weren't living like they were poor, brother. He's like, and then they were very nice, had me play some bets for him.
Nice.
Yeah, he was texting me throughout the weekend, having me place bets for him.
So you made a friend.
Kind of. I didn't hear from him again after that weekend for 2 years, and then like 8 months ago, he added me on Snapchat.
Interesting.
I added him back, too.
Yeah.
His Snapchat stories are also just ridiculous. This guy is everywhere. I remember during the World Cup looking down, I was like, oh, that's – oh, he's sitting like five rows up. That's cool. Oh, he's drinking in Qatar on a rooftop. He must have real money.
Yeah.
But, there's like –
We'll you don't you get that on credit.
we'll give you a ride to the airport in our limo if you want, but one rule, what happens in the limo stays in the limo. And I was like, I got an Uber. We're good, brother. Appreciate it. But it was how do we get there? Flights, Vegas? I don't know. Anyway, it was a fun flight, minus the fact that part of me was like, are we maybe going to die on this flight?
As long as you're not flying Spirit. Heard bad things.
I would take Spirit over Allegiant.
I don't think so.
No?
I'm I'm a big A guy.
Jay just tweeted us.
Oh, boy.
He said that large Edisons is completely overrated. Well,
I'll say this. It's not what it used to be back when the original owner had it. It's not what it used to be. Much like the place in Campbell County that I'm always, you know, telling everybody about. It was so good when the original owner had it. And even after he sold it the first time, it was still pretty good. But after that, it depends on who's making the pizza, who's working, that know what they're doing. Otherwise, you're going to get somebody making your pizza that has absolutely no clue what they're doing, and you're going to get a lot of sauce. You're not a big sauce guy.
No, I can think of a lot of places, or, you know, several places that have gotten like that, that, you know, that have the OG pizza makers have expanded or gotten tired or added more help or you know, added another restaurant or sold it or whatever else, and
right.
It's not as good sometimes or inconsistent. Like the Lito's Pizza I was talking about in Maryland, they sold and they franchised. And they don't have a ton of them, but they have, like, I want to guess 20 probably locations, 25 in the Maryland, DMV, Virginia, you know, area.
Yeah.
And now there are some bad Lito's pizzas and some inconsistent ones, but if you go to one of the good ones or one of the OG ones,
you're in good hands.
Still some of the best pie on the planet.
Got some golf on behind us.
Yeah, Charles Schwab.
Nice.
Michael Block. Things not going super well.
You know, we had a basketball game last night that I know you and I are dreading talking about.
What? Basketball game?
Yeah, this game, Dr. James Naismith invented it. You know, at the time you took a soccer ball and you put it into a peach basket, and over time it evolved to a glass backboard with some sort of metal or iron.
But what about Michael Block?
Michael Block, yeah, that guy.
Yeah. He went 11 over yesterday.
Oh! Do you think you could have done better than that?
Better than 11 over?
Yeah.
Am I only playing the front nine?
Yeah. You can only play the front nine. Could you do better than that on the front nine?
Better than 11 over on the front nine?
Yeah. Matter of fact, let's rephrase this question. What was your best round of golf you ever played?
Shot of like 79.
So, 7 over?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that was 7 over. But not at a PGA Tour course from PGA Tour.
True.
Tees and PGA Tour conditions. No, if you put me out there right now and put me in the Charles Schwab Invitational, I'm probably
making it through the front nine and probably calling it quits.
Probably going about 18 over a side, averaging double bogey a hole, and that might be generous.
I'm usually a bogey shooter. And granted, this is playing from amateur.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you put me on the Charles Schwab, I would be fortunate to average a double bogey a hole.
Yeah, I'd probably be averaging a triple, man, not going to lie.
I mean, Michael Block's a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's 11 over, and like, that's not even the worst day ever.
No.
Like, I would say, I don't know. I just don't want to sound dumb and overestimate myself here. There's nothing that gets golf people more fired up than overestimating your ability.
Charlie, I watched a guy shoot a 118 once.
Oh, I shot a
on 9 holes.
Oh, that's why they keep playing.
We were wondering the same thing. It's like, dude, I know you want to finish strong, but you're not finishing strong. Matter of fact, you're better off just not even finishing at this point. That's how bad your game is.
I mean, I've had days. Typically, the first 3 holes decide my round.
Gotcha.
After the first 3 holes, I know if I'm going to be around like 83 to 89 or 98 plus. I think in the same week, I once shot a 121 and an 89. Because if I...
That's a drastic difference there.
I mean, if the first three holes go poorly for me, I collapse. Like, I get to the point by hole 15, I can't hit a golf ball in the air.
Nice.
I don't know what it is. It's mental toughness, I think. But if I hit a couple fairways to start, maybe, you know, put a par in, then I'll be locked in all day and I'll be in the 80s. It just really depends, and I don't understand it. I do have one friend that I golf with all the time, and I've never been able to golf well with him, and I golf well with all of our other friends. But as soon as he shows up, I crumble every single time.
He's got a metal block.
And I don't know what it is, and he's really good. Yeah. And he shoots, like, consistently around par or under. So he's just whooped my ass my whole life.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it goes, man.
And every single time I'm with him, I don't know what it is, but I play awful. Awful. So I'm playing with him this weekend.
Nice.
I'm hoping that this is finally the round I break it.
This is it.
He doesn't believe that I can golf well.
You got to go out and you got to do something. Whatever it takes.
I got to prove myself.
Whatever substances you need to put in your body to make you play better.
I'm a sober golfer.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like to drink when I golf.
See, I'm the opposite. Like, the more I drink, the better I get. But if I drink too much, that's when it starts slipping. Like, I've got to have a happy medium. What'd you say? A beer to every two holes is my ratio for me to play well. Now, if I start playing like crap, it's a beer to hole ratio.
I was golfing really well on the front nine.
Yeah.
In Arizona last week, and then I got a couple double transfusions at the turn and a shot at tequila.
Yeah.
And on the 10th hole, I drove it straight OB.
Nice.
And had a significantly worse back nine. So I also got a cactus in my hand, which didn't help. That it's actually, I still have cactus in my leg, and I don't know how to get it out.
You have to pluck it out, man.
So we were sitting on the 12th tee box. I was in Scottsdale last weekend. I was golfing at Desert Canyon, and we're sitting on the 12th tee box. And it's a bachelor party. There's nine of us out there, 10 of us out there. One of my brother's buddies goes to take a leak next to the cart path, next to a cactus or whatever else, and he's hammered. And one of the little fruits, you know, those little balls that have the pokey things in them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they are. I'm not familiar with that.
I don't remember what
type of area, all that. Well enough to know what those are called. But one of those fell off a tree the same way, you know, like a monkey apple or whatever else would. And he instinctively just kind of caught it. And it kind of like rolled down his arm into his hand, and then he just immediately flung it into the cart.
Mm.
Where I then caught it.
You instinctively grab it.
Caught it, and then dropped it, and it rolled down my leg. So then we're sitting here on the 12 tee box for 20 minutes trying to pick cactus out of each other's hands. And every time we pick a little, and it wasn't big needles either. They were little tiny, baby little micro needles. They were impossible to get out.
Like fiberglass strands, essentially.
Yeah. They were impossible to get out. I mean, they were making it, you know, they were swelling the skin up too, and then getting deep into the skin.
Yeah, so then, of course, your hands swell, and it makes it harder to get down into the thing.
So then we were trying to pick it out, but every time we'd pick it out, we'd just get it stuck in each other's hands. So we just kept going back and forth, transferring these needles, essentially. We didn't have anything to get them out with. You know, we're starting to back up the tee box, so we just had to play the rest of the round with cactus in us. And I tried to get as much out as I could, but the swelling went down, and then the cactus was just inside my leg.
So now are you 1% cactus?
Well, just this whole area to the right of my knee and in, like, two places in my thumb, I can still kind of feel it under the skin. I just still have some, like, needles in there. So I guess at some point they just come out?
Don't know, but all I know is that you're now 1% cactus.
It's like 0.5%.
You are natural tequila.
Would love to know, though. If anyone does know if these are going to come out of me, just like shoot me an answer. That'd be cool. Anyway, 10:23. I've been trying to avoid it as long as possible, but yep. I'm worried.
Yeah.
Not feeling great about where the Miami Heat are currently at. We'll catch a break. We'll dive into it on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. All right, back here on the Blitz, and Saved by the Bell. Well, Saved by the Big Orange Philly phone lines, at least. Get to put out or put off talking about the Miami Heat a little bit longer, because I'm assuming it's not what this next caller wants to talk about. So let's head over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got a call from Matthew. Matthew, please don't tell me you want to talk playoff basketball, right?
I hope not.
No, not at all.
Okay,
not
cool.
At all, actually.
Cool, beautiful.
I'll save you that. 8-6.
Yes.
Thank you. Needed.
Yes.
We were talking about Vegas, and I'm going in August. I was texting you about it earlier, and this is actually a good topic to kind of segue into. We talk about future bets all the time and how sexy they are with the odds in our favor. I just thought about this morning because I was watching some NFL rookie OTAs, and I guess around Robin, for everybody in the room, who do you think will be next year's worst team in the NFL and get the number one pick? Because I have my team.
Who will be the worst and get the number one pick?
That's a good question. I mean, the Cardinals have you know, double the chance of the number one pick just because they're probably going to have two top 10-ish level picks. I got this right last year. Last year I bet on the Bears before the season to have the worst record, and that paid out pretty nice. So maybe I can hit that again this year. It's not going to be anyone from the AFC East. Don't think it'll be anyone from the AFC North or AFC West. It's probably going to be an NFC team. And yep. Unless you have one of these AFC teams just really get caught up in the strength of the conference as a whole. But I think the Cardinals actually are a really good bet. Colt McCoy, that's their starting quarterback right now, correct? I mean, Kyler Murray's out. It's either Colt McCoy, Trace McSorley, or David Blau.
Oof.
Combined with just, I'm not a huge Gannon believer. The explosives, pew, pew. Like, that's enough for me to be out on him.
Yeah.
I know that it was kind of a funny video. It doesn't actually mean anything, but I just don't get the right vibes from him. So I don't really believe in the coaching. I don't believe in the quarterback position because, again, they don't have one. It's just Colt McCoy. Don't think they really have a ton of weapons on either side of the ball. I think the Cardinals are probably your best bet. Jake?
I kind of got to go in that camp with you on this one. I was thinking either them. I don't know why. I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Falcons. I don't know what it is about them. I just don't have a lot of confidence there.
Matthew, are you still there? We lose you?
Yeah. No, I'm still here. I'm just listening. I'm going to go Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think just that division is one of the more just inept, deep, like, divisions. You got to play the Saints twice. I think the Panthers are improved. I think the Saints, even as bad as they are, I think that Derek Carr is an adequate Band-Aid. So I'm interested to see how that plays out for them. And we've said it time and time again. Baker Mayfield is just not the guy.
No.
I don't hate Baker Mayfield, actually. I mean, he got the Browns to a playoff appearance. He was pretty successful in Cleveland for the most part. Had his worst season when he was trying to play through injuries that most quarterbacks would sit out for. They ran him off for a deviant instead. The Browns got to go to one playoff and decided that, you know, they were a luxury franchise and ran off the only quarterback that's ever done something for them. So he goes to Carolina, and things didn't go well there, but things haven't gone well for a Carolina quarterback since Cam Newton won an MVP. Thought Baker Mayfield played really well with the Rams. I thought that him and Sean McVay paired together well, and I'm not huge on the Buccaneers' offensive coaching staff, but I think Baker can be decently successful when you look at it's an offensive line that was really bad last year, but it was because they all got banged up. That offensive line should be healthier. They still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and tight end wise, I guess it's just what Cameron Brate. So I don't think the Buccaneers will be the worst team. I think that they just have too much veteran talent
to keep them out of last place. And that division is just bad enough that there's winnable games every time you play a division foe. Same with the Falcons.
Right.
I just think they added so much this offseason. It'll be tough for them to be the worst team. But, again, the Cardinals are one of the teams that's lacking, you know, close to the most. The Texans still don't really have a whole lot going on for them. You know, now they have a new rookie quarterback, but it's not like rookie quarterbacks drive winning all that much. So I could see the Texans being the worst team, too, given the fact they also just have to play in the AFC. Tougher yeah. schedule. Could the Bears even flirt with the worst record again? I guess that depends on what kind of jump Justin Fields makes. I personally am not a Justin Fields believer. I think that the running will only get worse, but I don't think the passing is going to get a lot better for him. I'm not out on Justin Fields either. I think he needs now this year with more pieces around him and a better coaching staff to get a chance to start to prove himself, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears have the worst record either. My pick, though, is still the Cardinals.
Another one, and I'll hang up on this, is I guess right now, I'm just going to throw it out there and see, cast a line. Who's your guy's pick for Rookie of the Year? So I've got mine. I'm going to be biased here. I really love what I'm hearing out of Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson.
I think he has the athletic ability to do that. That's the one thing about Anthony Richardson that a lot of people don't take into account is he does have the athletic ability. I just don't think he had a lot of pieces around him at Florida that were able to help him out and get him to where he needed to be at Florida to get the confidence level that a lot of people have with Will Levis, which I still don't understand. But at least with Anthony Richardson, we can say that he just did not have the pieces around him when he was down in Gainesville.
No, I mean, I've been on this train for a minute now.
Yeah.
I don't think Anthony Richardson was nearly as raw as he was made out to be. I just think that Florida was poorly coached, and those receivers, just to be frank, they sucked.
Yeah, they did.
I could, you know, come up with a better word to describe it, but they were terrible. Those Florida receivers were bad. I thought Anthony Richardson threw some really nice balls, even threw people open. And the Florida receivers gave him zero help. I don't think the coaching staff gave him much help either. So I think Anthony Richardson isn't the worst choice ever. Even though he's not as raw as he was made out to be, I still think he is raw. Pretty raw. And, you know, he'll get help from Jonathan Taylor. He'll have, I think, some pretty decent receivers to throw to. I don't think that's a bad pick at all. If you're looking at just the rookie quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, you know, Will Levis, I think that Anthony Richardson far and away has the best odds out of the rookie quarterbacks, despite Bryce Young being a you know, more of a favorite. He's at plus 430 compared to Anthony Richardson at plus 700. A name that I wouldn't gloss over is Jordan Addison. It's going to be tougher for a wide receiver, too, to win Rookie of the Year, but I think he's ready to step in and immediately contribute. And, I mean, if you think about the best years that Adam Thielen had opposite of Justin Jefferson, or just, you know, what a guy like Jordan Addison can be capable of opposite of Justin Jefferson, then that could be good enough to win Rookie of the Year. I am a big fan of Jordan Addison, and I think that he's in a perfect situation. You know, I could see him having 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards.
It's very possible.
That would maybe be good enough. I don't really love any of the longer odds players. I'll tell you this. I bet on Michael Mayer to win Rookie of the Year. I bet on Michael Mayer to win Rookie of the Year before the draft, though.
Really?
Yeah, so I just took it before I found out where he was going at I think it was 75-1 odds. He's down at 60-1 odds. He's with the Raiders, I believe. I don't love that spot for him. Or else I could definitely see Michael Mayer being a sneaky pick. You got a pick?
I don't have one, to be honest, right off the top of my head. I've not really looked too much into it. Now, I do think that you know, you got some wide receivers out there. You know, you mentioned Jordan Addison, but I feel like it's easier for a wide receiver to come in and make an immediate impact because you are going to see more opportunity to shine, especially if you have a veteran quarterback, someone that knows what they're doing under center. You know, take Marquez Callaway, for example. You know, he had a fantastic showing when he got to New Orleans. Why? Because he had great quarterback play. He's able to get the ball. He was scoring left and right. He made me a lot of money with any time touchdown scoring odds that he had. So, I don't know, man. I'm going to look into it. I'll get back with you about the middle of July on that after I do my research.
Anything else, Matthew?
No, I'll hopefully I bought you enough time, hopefully. But, gents, always love catching up with you. The last thing I'll say is I think we're, what, 98 days away from football time in Tennessee?
99.
Take care, boys.
99.
Ah, 99.
You were one off.
Hey, still feels like 98. Go Vols.
Go Vols. Always good to hear from you, Matthew.
Or D'Angelo Lloyd days.
Mm-hmm.
Number 99. Thinking of good players.
Oh, yeah, Lloyd Hayes. Yeah.
Who else is number 99 that's made an impact? Khalil McKenzie had it for that last year. He was here.
I really don't know. Ben Martin?
We had to skip the good one. We've had some good players wear number 98.
98 will be big. I'm looking at the names of 99s, and I'm not seeing anything.
Start naming them off. I'll tell you if I know who they are or not.
These are just all of Tennessee's 99s. Ron Ramsey, Bob Kennison, Jim Woofter, David Aaron, Kenny Jones, Alan King, Anthony Howard, Dwayne Williamson, Casey Rogers, Paul Yatowski, Mercedes Hamilton, Eric Brown, D'Angelo Lloyd, Abreu Franklin, DeMonte Bolden, JT Maypoo, David Harrington, and then Ben Martin.
Hmm. They didn't throw Khalil on that list?
This list is from 2012. So we're missing the last 11 years of 99. Don't know why this list from 2012 is the first thing that comes up on Google when you type in Tennessee's best number 99s, but it is. So, yeah. 99 days till kickoff, though.
Nice.
Sounds nice. Sounds real nice. Season tickets all the way sold out, too. Don't know if you saw that earlier this week.
I did.
I think it's the second time, if I'm not mistaken.
I missed the Vol Pass, dude. That was the play.
Yeah, you know, I love the Vol Pass. I guess I'll trade off being good at football for not getting the Vol Pass.
Yeah, that's a fair trade.
The Vol Pass meant that we were going to go 6-6, and we needed people to come watch.
Oh, it was so great, too, man. $300 per Vol Pass. You got into every game. I sold my Georgia tickets in Heupel's first year and made my money back.
I was going to say, Josh Heupel's first year?
Yeah.
The Vol Pass ended up being the best investment of all time.
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic.
All of those that believed in Josh Heupel early got a quite the payout that first year.
I sure did. I sure did.
Because you just got the leftover tickets.
Yeah. The thing is, there were so many leftover tickets.
The leftover tickets put you in the lower bowl.
I was four rows up for the pit game.
Yeah. Like, just in the pit section.
Yeah. It was great.
It was sick. It was fantastic. Yeah. I had an elite view of the referees not awarding Hendon Hooker a first down, despite the fact that he was more than half a football past the line.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't understand why that never gets brought up.
It never does.
Why did that not get brought up more? Why was that not one of the top stories of college football that weekend, that there was a blatant blown call that changed the outcome of a game?
There was that. The Ole Miss incident, and then the Music City Bowl. I mean, there were three instances.
Well, I mean, even that same season, I think there was an incident with an Auburn game. That might have been that same weekend where there was an ending that was incorrectly officiated. And maybe that's what took the – it was either an Auburn game or an Ole Miss game that ended controversially. But I've just always been surprised that no one brings up the fact that it is clear as day Hendon Hooker picked up a first down and Tennessee like probably would have won that game.
Yeah.
If you win that game, who knows? Maybe beat Florida. Maybe it's a domino effect.
Let me ask you this. Have you seen much of Mark Curls since that Ole Miss game?
Who?
Mark Curls, the official for that game, who was also the official for the Dooley's Dozen game down in Baton Rouge, who is also the same official that called the blatant, just ridiculous personal foul call on Arkansas in 08, which basically helped Florida to a win in that situation.
Well, I mean, the Dooley's Dozen thing, like that was just – that wasn't officiating, though.
But it's the fact no flag was thrown. Like, the officials didn't catch it. They didn't catch it until Les Miles went to Curls and said they had 13 men on the field.
Yeah, but, like, the right thing happened.
The right thing happened.
We did the wrong thing. You know, it was our fault, not Mark Curls, but
I still hate the guy.
I don't think I know any NCAA officials' names. I know college basketball officials.
Oh, we all know those.
Yeah, I know some NFL officials. If you see Jerome Boger's name pop up, you know you're gonna have a bad day.
Yeah. It's like Dick Pavetta, one of the
bad time.
You remember Dick Pavetta, one of the NBA officials, older guy, the one that accidentally kissed Charles Barkley?
I don't remember that, no. I don't know who that is.
I will show you the video after the fact, but if he was officiating a Game 6, you knew there was going to be a Game 7. So as soon as you found out he was going to be the official.
Well, that's what they call Scott Foster, the extender.
Yes. What is Chris Paul? He's like 1-13 against him all the time.
Like 1-14, something like that. Well, speaking of game sixes and series getting extended, we'll actually get into that on the other side. We'll wrap up hour one talking a little Heat Celtics. Stay with us here on the Blitz. You much of what did I say? Well, you just laughed it off, but it's all okay. All right, wrapping up hour one, and we have a series. Didn't want a series, but we have one, as it's now 3-2. Miami still leads heading back home for game six, but all of the momentum has swung in the favor of the Boston Celtics. 110-97 last night. It wasn't that close, even, you know, just some garbage time points for Miami to make it look a little bit closer. Don't cover up the blowout that was last night.
No, it does not. You know, this is the one thing that you and I talked about yesterday, Charlie, was you don't want this to go to a game six, and you really don't want it to go to a game seven. I don't think that they are about to do the reverse sweep, but it's going to scare the hell out of me until this series is over.
For all of NBA history, right, this is now the 150th time a team has faced a 3-0 series deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever overcome that before.
No.
Just three teams, 2003 Blazers, 1994 Nuggets, and 1951 Knicks, have even forced a Game 7. All three of those teams lost. The problem is, none of the teams that have gone down 3-0 and started to mount any kind of comeback have ever been, you know, this high of a seed in comparison to their counterpart. None of them have, by most metrics, been clearly the better team.
Yeah.
You know, this is a higher-seeded Celtics team, and they've routed Miami twice now since going down 3-0. And last night was pretty much never in question.
No.
I mean, by the time it was 15-5 and Marcus Smart and Derek White and like Jaylen Brown had all banged home a three, it was over.
Well, you and I were both wrong yesterday. I said that Bam was going to be the best player on the floor for the Heat last night. Second best. I think you said Jimmy was going to be. And all of a sudden, we're getting valuable minutes from Duncan Robinson and Haywood Highsmith.
Yeah, Miami just, I mean, really in a tough spot, right, with their rotations, everything else.
The only person that did not play for the Miami Heat last night, Udonis Haslam.
You had to start Kyle Lowry at point guard. He was bad. Kyle Lowry had some bad early turnovers. Right. Had Bam bring the ball up some. Every time Bam got near the plate, near the paint, you know, he was drawing a double team, sometimes a triple team. They were trying to get the ball out of his hands. Same with Jimmy. You didn't have a point guard to bring off the bench to spell Lowry, who also wasn't playing well.
I mean, you don't even have a guard.
Had to play Haywood Highsmith. You know, Max Strus was running the point at times, too. Bam Adebayo played poorly. And now you're going to have to make pretty serious adjustments, I think, to avoid unmitigated disaster.
So who would you put?
Getting reverse swept.
Who would you put as your starting lineup going into game six?
Because I mean, 32 turnovers in the last two games. So I think you have to emphasize in game six taking care of the basketball and rebounding better. You know, you're giving Boston far too many extra possessions. Obviously, you're going to have Bam. Obviously, you're going to have Jimmy. Gabe Vincent will be back, so I think you go Gabe Vincent. And from there, it's hard because...
I mean, the thing is, like, they lost Oladipo and Hero early in the playoffs. And they made it this far without them. Right now, if it were me, Gabe at the one, Dr. Strus at the two, Jimmy. Matter of fact, let's go Duncan Robinson over Kevin Love. And then Bam at the five.
This, what a weird thing this is about. I'm about to say, but the Heat making it to the NBA Finals potentially hinges on the health of Gabe Vincent. Without Gabe Vincent last night, Miami just has their hands far too tied. You know, you're already missing again Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo. I mean, you're up the creek without a paddle. Gabe Vincent does so much as a defender and as a three-point shooter. He does so much for his spacing, not to mention Kyle Lowry is aging, and he's just not consistent anymore.
That's just so weird to think about.
He had 5 points, one assist, and four turnovers in Game 5. So, like, Gabe Vincent provides an edge defensively that Kyle Lowry doesn't. And Gabe Vincent is a better three-point shooter than Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is a role player at this point. Furthermore, when you were putting Kyle Lowry and Kevin Love out there together, the Celtics were just...
They're just young.
Kicking your butt.
Yeah.
Because those two together defensively is just not a recipe for success. So that's why you had to go to Haywood Highsmith instead of Kevin Love to start the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would probably like to opt for Kevin Love, but you can't take Kyle Lowry out because there's no one to replace Kyle Lowry. So instead, you have to take Kevin Love out, put Haywood Highsmith in. He was actually pretty decent. He had 15 points, contributed all right. I think maybe you see Haywood Highsmith play a little bit more in Game 6. But
dude, imagine a prop for Haywood Highsmith 3+ threes last night.
I think it's time for this Heat to go away from Kevin Love. Start Caleb Martin. The Celtics, they've committed to playing Derek White with their starters. They're going a little bit smaller. They're taking away Robert Williams' minutes. It's time for Spoelstra to counter and go away from Kevin Love. Start Caleb Martin and give Haywood Highsmith some more minutes too. Get some quicker wings. Get smaller. Get more athletic so you can defend this team and you're not left scrambling defensively and, you know, out of position. Also didn't get Cody Zeller in the game last night all that much.
Played 4 minutes.
Which I thought he's been valuable in the series in a limited role. It's tough. I mean, the way the Celtics are playing right now, it's hard for any team to beat.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's why it's, at times this season the Celtics have been the title favorites. When they're playing like they have for the last six quarters, they are untouchable. And the Celtics' greatest flaw is their inconsistency. You know, the playoffs are all about exploiting flaws. Well, you know, it's kind of tough sometimes to exploit the inconsistency, but I think you partially have to hope that you built a 3-0 lead for a reason. They have to win four in a row. So, sure, they've won two in a row, but they still have to win two more in a row, and they have to go into your building and do it. So, yeah, they've been great for six quarters, and they've shot the three fantastic, and they've figured some things out, but they still have two more games to do it. You know, you can't let the pressure flip onto yourself. But
right.
I'm nervous. Saturday, not a lot of fun. It's one of, I think, the first must-win games we've ever seen for both teams.
It's so weird.
It feels like a winner go home for both teams, yet it's only game six. Hour one done, though. Hour two, it's on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.